SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, SteveBick.com. A absolutely just wonderful weekend. I hope it was for you. If you were involved at all in the racing action, particularly Saturday, you had to have had some fun. There were prices. There were emotion-filled moments. There were breakthrough victories for sets of connections. We'll hit all the highlights. We'll try to encapsulate everything that was experienced, including summer-like temperatures, an absolute summery weekend. We were in Philadelphia, got there about 8:30 on Friday night, and Saturday and Sunday, I mean, it was, you know, 90. Again today, I guess, all week it's supposed to be like this, and it made for a sweltering day at Parks, and it certainly didn't inhibit the crowd. The crowd was outstanding. And it's funny, when we arrived, it must have been about the fourth or fifth, and the cars were as far out on the parking lot as I've seen it. And this is my sixth in a row, I think. Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion Day, there was, you know, some people made suggestions. Well, maybe the crowd won't come because there's no maximum security. That was not a factor. What was a factor was upsets to some degree. Certainly in both of the features, in the Cotillion and the Pennsylvania Derby. We'll talk to Safi Joseph, which I'm really looking forward to. And if you saw his visit with Caton Bradar on TVG, I was standing sort of behind and off to the side listening, and you could tell what was going on, the emotion involved. And that was really the storyline, I thought, through the graded stakes sequence. Starting with King Jack. And the Stinson's first graded stake win, the Gallant Bob, a mammoth performance from King Jack, cutting back from the performance behind Improbable and with Joel Rosario, who rode him to a T, a 111 buyer, and everybody was there. Which made it really fun. And you know, in terms of the Stinsons and Tom McGreevy, who picked out King Jack, Jimmy Creed, really versatile. And I don't see how they bypass. You know, they got a lot of options with him. And I don't see how Hollidorfer and McGreevy and the Stinsons don't look at the sprint after earning a figure like that, even though he would be just as eligible to perform in the dirt mile. This is a horse with a big, big future and a big upside. Make no mistake, this is a really nice horse. And that effort, just Rosario, really perfect, sitting and letting the speed and letting the pace setter, Landeskog, who figured, you know, to set the pace. He also had that strong will, break sharp and be a part of things for a little bit. But King Jack just figured so perfectly in here. You can see, you know, the outside stalking trip, and I thought very impressive. And don't forget, this is a very lightly raced horse. This is his fourth career start. It didn't show up until June with that maiden win, first asking, then the allowance win, came back in the shared belief, and chased improbable home. So couldn't be happier for the Stinsons, who were some of the nicest people around the game. And this is a evolving story. And King Jack will make, if not the Breeders' Cup, because McGreevy, the conversation with McGreevy, the Malibu is as much for them a target for the end of the season. You know, literally, opening day at Santa Anita. When I talked to Jerry Hollendorfer and told him how happy it was for him, he deflected it and said, "Just happy for Michael Stinson." That story in the Gallant Bob then gives way to Street Band, the Universal Selection on Friday. It was funny. Just one after the other, Scully and Grenig and Tamaro and DeRosa, everybody piling on Street Band, and certainly the race, in comparison to what we're going to talk about in the Pennsylvania Derby, and with Safi Joseph after we take our first break in 10 minutes, the speed that lined up. And in particular, I wrote, in fact, in my selections, I didn't think that Rosario could get the lead or would even necessarily want the lead. But that, you know, that was the strategy. And from the 11 hole, Jaywalk makes the turn in the two path. And Rosario is so good at this. But it takes a toll. And Jaywalk didn't run badly, but there were some things going on in here that were very interesting. And Errat Ortiz, who I thought had Serengeti Empress in an impossible spot. It was fine if you weren't going to go to the lead and you were going to let some of the other options make the front. Bellafina was certainly, you know, comfortable and stalking and out there with Jaywalk, the two of them for the first, you know, more than the first half of the race. But Serengeti Empress is just in a inside pocketed, uncomfortable spot really throughout, and at no point seemed to, you know, be in a position to put in a run, even if there was going to be one. I haven't seen the comments from Amos, but I can't imagine that was, you know, what he was looking for. Again, you know, being inside and Serengeti Empress's, that was the third straight time that she's drawn the rail, and she had the, she was on the outside when it came to, you know, the Oaks win, the 13, I think. And it's just one more reason, especially in Philadelphia. And I will say this, it didn't seem like, I'll see what Johnny says. Had a wonderful time with Johnny and Gail on Saturday and all the way through the evening. And then Johnny and I and Tina and Will Schwartz at the Eagle game, less of a good time, given the outcome, but it had its moments. But I'm curious what Johnny thinks. The inside was not as dreadful as it can be. There were horses that ran fine down inside, so it wasn't necessarily a question of, you know, the the quagmire that the rail can be at Philadelphia, that didn't seem to be as much of an issue. It's rarely, but rarely the place to be. But we did acknowledge that it seems on Derby Day it's a little bit more even, and it didn't seem to bog horses down like it can. But still, Serengeti Empress never really had the opportunity to put in a run. And meanwhile, Guarana was sitting absolutely beautiful behind the speed and seemed to be the one, to some degree, having a similar voyage and experience that Mr. Money would have a half hour later. And when it came time to make the late running Street Band under Sophie Doyle, people just delighted for Sophie Doyle, and I put that picture up, grade one smile. I mean, she was beaming. It's an absolute defining win for her. The Cotillion is such a nice race to win. And Larry Jones is, we'll talk to Larry at 10:40, give or take, 10:45, after he's finished with his morning work and being lugged around by his horses, with those feet dragging on the ground. There was really nothing Guarana could do, much like there was nothing Mr. Money could do when the late running assault came. And Street Band sweeps by, wins off by a couple, and you got paid well. 17:40 was outstanding. Guarana was being bet at one point was 3-5, which was just over the top, and ended up just over even money, just under 6-5. And Street Band, a mammoth win for a set of connections that were just agog, and obviously the Joneses, but the Medallion Racing Team and My Racehorse, the MicroShare stable concept that has come forward in recent months. And, of course, Ray Francis, who co-bred with Larry and Cindy. And this, the Street Minstrel was a filly that Larry trained. And, this also got Brary Jones's stamp on it with, being a daughter of Istan. And, in fact, speaking of Brary and Istan, there was that Christophe Clement maiden winner on Friday driving down. I was watching and playing, and the Silver Reunion baby, because Istan has been exported to, I think he's in Saudi Arabia, maybe. I don't think he went to Korea. I'm pretty sure he's in Saudi Arabia, but so I don't know how many more Istans are out there. But the Silver Reunion, of course, in a very nice race mare herself. And first-time starter on Friday at Belmont. But a terrific win. Larry Jones with Oaks-style fillies. Unbelievable. That gets us to the Derby. And we're going to talk with Safi Joseph about the backstory. And, there was every chance that a former 16 claimer maiden might win this race. But the fact that it was the third-place finisher behind Maximum Security back in December. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And this was a magical moment, too. I mean, all three of these wins, these three graded stakes, it just had that really sweet element and a reward for, people committed to the game. Safi Joseph in his early 30s from Barbados has been, upgrading his stock steadily, and been growing his stable steadily. He's down in Florida don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. And this was just a unbelievable moment. 25,000, they took this horse back at Gulfstream in January. And, you know, he just made steady gains, really. It just seemed like he was a horse that was moving forward. Paul Cope had claimed him for 16 out of his maiden win at the beginning of January, and he improved significantly for Cope and just has gone forward since. And it, you know, was competitive. The only place he didn't run great was in West Virginia in the Derby. Improbable. Gets up to his old tricks off the break. Took himself right out of the race. Mr. Money did everything but hold off Math Wizard, who we'll talk about next with Sappy Joseph. Lots to do. Should be a fun morning. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sormon Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Switch me on.
We're back at the races coming up on 20 into hour one on this Monday after a big weekend. Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion. You had a big Saturday at Laurel as well. We'll talk to the great one, Tommy Proctor, in the next half hour. And he wins himself a DC International, kind of a race I was surprised that Proctor had never won. Well, when it comes to winning a breakthrough race and really a career moment coming 7 years or so into his career in the United States, Saffy Joseph Jr. from Barbados, who's been, you know, doing a very notable job and attracting, you know, more and more top clients, including Bob Edwards and others. And this story, though, is the old-fashioned claim a horse and see where we can go with him. Well, he's taken him through a series of excellent stake performances to a grade one win. Saffy Joseph joins us. Congratulations, Saffy.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. I mean, this was this really capped a day. In the opening here at the start of the show, I talked about the Gallant Bob for the Stinsons. It was their first graded stake win as owners. Then you know, there's also the pleasure in Jerry Hollendorfer, you know, getting his groove back, and then Sophie Doyle winning a grade one. That was wonderful. And then there's you, and it was really the capper for you and the owners. Taken for $25,000 and has just gotten better and better and better as the summer has gone on. Talk about the horse, first of all, and, you know, what you've seen from him that took you on this ride.
Well, it started by us claiming him. We claimed him for $25,000. That day we had to win a shake. He was obviously very impressive that the day we claimed him. It was his first time going to rubbed up ground. And from then he's been a straightforward horse. He trains willingly. When you work him, he works like a good horse. But like 8 months you go back to see that we would be here winning a grade one Pennsylvania Derby with him. No, you can never believe that's going to happen until it happens, you know what I mean? And I keep watching the replay over and over. Every time I watch it, he gets there.
Yeah, I heard you say to Caton that the going to the Wood Memorial, because you claimed him out of a breakthrough performance on his part when he went off by 15-plus lengths in January. That's when you took him from Paul Kopech. And then there was the allowance effort, which was very solid, but it was the two turns and going to the Wood Memorial. What gave John Finelli the confidence to even try the Wood?
Well, from the time he claimed him and he ran that day, when he won easily, all his numbers matched up, and John always wanted to take a shot to try to get to one of these Triple Crown races. And he got colic on us like a week after we claimed him. So he kind of set us back. So we had to take the starter allowance route. And after that race, he transformed. After the starter allowance race when he ran second, he really started training forwardly. And John's like, let's take a shot in the Wood Memorial. And we got there. I mean, I went there feeling that we had a chance. But then right when the horses went to the post, I looked over the odds board. And at that time, he was like 84-1. I think he ended up going up 64-1. And I was like, I said to myself, what did John get me into? But then he ran, and he ran so good, and I was proud of him. And then from that day, I was a believer in the horse. I knew, like, he was real. He wasn't just a flash in the pan.
He's by Algorithms, and actually Algorithms had a nice weekend because he had another stake winner elsewhere, I think maybe at Charlestown. And, you know, he stands for a nickel. The progress he made from the Wood is interesting. And in fact, you know, for people trying to make sense of this, I'm going to put up his Thorograph page. And I don't know if you and John are Sheets players at all. Yeah. and Sheets users to identify, you know, claiming targets. But he's got a very distinct pattern where he reaches a career top, then he backs up a little bit, goes forward. You know, he certainly went forward at Thistledown and at Indiana, but in fact it was West Virginia, which not every horse likes, the surface there, he backed up. And so he, based on his own development pattern, he was sitting on an A race.
No, for sure. Like, the best we ever thought we had him was going to Ohio. Ohio, he went into that race. It was, I think it was off of, like, 48 days, and he trained well. He looked well. Going into Indiana, I know the numbers came back good in Indiana, but I didn't go into Indiana thinking that we had him at his best. I thought he was just – he just seemed lackluster. Like, and he ran decent in Indiana. There was a loose horse. He possibly could have run second.
Right.
The winner was much the best. But I didn't think that we went to Indiana the best. And then West Virginia, I think we just had a tired horse, and it was one race too many. And, like, after the West Virginia, it was – I mean, you never want to run bad, but he ran so bad in West Virginia, and that was probably – it was the best thing to happen because, you know what, we stopped and we brought him back home. Like, for those – after Ohio, he went to Keeneland. He stayed at Keeneland. And the best thing was to get him back home. He got back in his normal routine. He had the same people around him that he's accustomed to having around him. He got back to his groom that does a great job with him. And we had from then on, it was everything seems like he was getting back, rounding back into his top form. His colt was looking good, and his work second back at the half. If you watch that work, it was eye catching, and that was his first serious piece of work. But then after that, he took a little toll on him. He was a little lethargic that week. And then we came back and we worked him. It was a five-ace work. It was one-on-one on change. But it's how he galloped out. He galloped out like 7 and 126 and a mile and 140. And then that's when John was saying the Pennsylvania Derby. And I was like, John, we need to see how he comes out of work because he got a really stiff work. And that's where we were undecided to go or not. But then finally we got a flight, which was going to leave on Thursday. And it was going to give us a couple of days to see how he came out of work. He came out of work like really, really good. He never like from the last week. His routine has been perfect. We couldn't have any complaints. You still never still think that you're gonna win that kind of race, but we went there hoping that we could run third or fourth.
Unbelievable. And you know, there were parts of it. Let's talk now about the race itself. And you draw inside. And it did seem like he was going to get a kind of the similar trip that Street Band got in the Cotillion. It was going to be the horse that would be coming late. And, you know, him and Spun to Run, while they weren't, you know, the obvious players that Improbable and War of Will and Mr. Money were, it was evident that they both had legitimate places in this race. What were your conversation like with Arad? And we certainly feel terrible that Edgar Zayas, I feel bad for him that he could not come up and ride. Did he make that decision, or was it just so last minute?
No, like we were so last minute. We weren't planning to, like, we weren't 100% sure if we were going to go to Pennsylvania. So Edgar had already had committed to Gulfstream, and then we decided that he had the option to go on, and he decided he's gonna stay at Gulfstream for the week. So that's obviously IRAD was available in the race, so
unbelievable.
He decided to go to IRAD after, and like before that race, John texted me when the Cotillion ran. He's like, we need that kind of pace because I didn't see the race. I was back at the bar with the horse. And then he told me to bet 46, and the Street Band came from behind and won. So the way the track was playing that day, it was like, it's not like some tracks were speed favoring. We thought like we had a chance coming from behind. And I told Irad in the paddock, I told him, Irad, just let him get away from there nice. There's some speed, hopefully it materializes, and just come in one run. He has a really good kick. So just utilize it when you want. And the last thing I told him, Irad, it's not impossible, because there's some, you go into some races and you know some horses have no chance of winning. Like, it was unlikely that he would win, but it wasn't impossible. His best race could put him right there if things set up. And then, obviously, the race unfolds and whatever you think is going to happen doesn't happen. And Improbable misses the break. They're walking, they're going super slow. But to be honest with you, even when they went 49 and he was sitting so close, I know the kind of turn of foot he has. Like, he has a when you work him, he'll work his last quarter in 22-3, 22-4. That's unusual for most horses. So I know it was a slow pace. It doesn't suit closers, but his turn of foot, once he's close enough, I think he has a really good turn of foot. So maybe it just played to his strength when it was meant to be.
Do you know if Arad talked to Jose? Because Jose rode him three times over the winter.
Yes, yeah, so Jose was the only person to win on him before, so it looks like he needs the Ortiz brother to ride him to win.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what was so shocking. To me, it wasn't that he won, and it was the fact that, you know, they went in 24-2, 49-3, 113-2, and 137-4. And so whether the track, you know, there was about 40 minutes between the Cotillion and the Derby. The track could have slowed down a little, with as much sun, and they were putting a lot of water on the track early in the day, given how hot it was. Did that play in your favor, by the way? The fact that we had basically Hallandale temperatures on Saturday?
I'm not sure. I know one thing about the horse. Like, he loves that cold weather. I mean, it wasn't cold in the afternoon, but when
in the mornings,
the mornings were so, the morning was so cool. And when he got there, he was just came off the van. He ate all his food each day, and he was a happy horse. Like, watching the track throughout the day, it was confusing me, because I think the first maiden race ran in 27 to 7/8, which is really slow. The second one went in 24. So I said maybe he just better horses in the second race, and then the Gallant Bob race, they ran in 108. So I was like, whoa, this track now is lightning fast. So it kept confusing me, the track, honestly, to be honest.
Well, he comes running, and Mr. Money, to his credit, I mean, Gabe Saez did all he could. Probably helped that Arad stayed in the path that he was, because you don't want a horse to realize there's something coming close to him, you know, when sometimes they'll respond. So the way that he was out in the track, Gabe Saez did what he could with Mr. Money, who ran terrific, but it was your day. Talk about your career arc. You know, you followed in your father's footsteps. You wanted to come to the U.S. and establish yourself, and you've been doing it steadily. You know, certainly people that follow South Florida closely know you, and people know that, early in your career, you trained that Barbados Triple Crown winner. You must have been 20 years old then.
Yeah, I was 22 when he won the Barbados Triple Crown with a horse named Are You Talking to Me? And he was probably the best horse that I ever had in Barbados. That most definitely the best horse I ever had in Barbados. I'm probably one of the best horses to run in Barbados. Actually, he was. I was supposed to bring him to America to start my career, because I thought in America he'd have probably been like a Grade 3 or a state horse. He got a freak injury, and then that actually sped up my thing to come to America. After that happened, I was like, you know, it's time to go. And that's how we ended up here. So sometimes everything happens for a reason. And we've come here and we started like, we bought 5 horses, 6 horses for ourselves. And we built our rig gradually up, and we've attracted owners that give us opportunity. Without the opportunity, you can't do anything. You need good owners to support you. And our owners right now, like, they want us to succeed. And when you have owners that want you to succeed, the sky's the limit, basically.
Well, and we're gonna certainly talk about some of the other things going on in the barn, because you've got that nice horse that I talked about that race during August, one of the Florida Sire series, and this is probably a race, Safi, that some people have probably not seen, which was Chance It and Liam's Lucky Charm, the Ralph Nix 2-year-old, and that was one of the best races of the summer anywhere, and I don't think anybody really saw it. And so you've got that nice 2-year-old, and you got that nice Bob Edwards first time out winner Sound Machine.
Yes, we've got some nice 2-year-olds. Obviously Chance It, he's a nice horse. He's going to run Saturday. He had his final work yesterday. That race did come back quick on all the numbers, and Chance It, I believe is a really, really good horse, like above average talent, and I'm excited to run him on Saturday. And Saturday's going to be a big telltale sign of the next path he takes. And then Song Machine, she's a filly from E5, Bob Edwards. She was picked up by Mike Ryan, and obviously thankful to be among these guys. It's like, you put yourself in this kind of company, you're like, success is bound to happen, and I'm thankful that it sent her to us, and she was an impressive winner first time out. We've had some trouble getting a race for her to go to Gulfstream, so she's going to go to Keeneland and run opening day and an allowance there, and then after that, we'll pick a path of where we go to.
Well, fill out part of the equation from Saturday, and you now have had another 36 hours to kind of absorb everything, and you and John and the other partners, talk about what the trip home was like, and what it's been like, literally since the horse left the winner's circle.
Well, it's just been surreal, to be honest. This horse is basically owned by a group of guys, John, and then the other owners, Danny, Taylor, Jose, John. Next, John is Ionis is his name. It's owned by just people that love racing, that they're not buying horses for expensive money, and like to see it happen for everyone, including themselves, is words can't describe the feeling. After the race, we didn't really get time to do anything. I barely made my flight because we had a flight booked for 8:24. So we had the airport's like 40 minutes away. So we had to jump in the car and head to the airport because we had to work chassis the next day.
Oh, how funny! So you didn't get a night out, and did you guys celebrate last night?
No, last night we just got back. It's like, once you win, you don't need to celebrate. Like, just having that feeling, I think I celebrate like watching the race. I probably watched that race over and over and over and over. I've been watching it the whole morning, too.
No doubt. That's one of the great pleasures. Years ago, you'd have to get, there was a period when you could get the DVD, or you could get the VHS tape, or from the track, that would be the way you could watch it. Now, all day, whenever something goes wrong, you just pull up the race on your phone and just watch it and say, "Yep, we did that."
No, for sure.
Oh, I love it. Well, one of the advantages of this Pennsylvania Derby on the calendar, you've got a nice lead in if you want to go out west. I mean, talk about the Breeders' Cup thoughts and what you guys have been saying about that end and what to do next.
Well, to be honest, we haven't even sat and discussed it, because going into the race, the Breeders' Cup was the last thing on our mind. We went there hoping we could run third or fourth, and when you go into a race, you always have a hope that you could win, even if you don't have no chance. Like, so the Breeders' Cup hasn't even crossed, it didn't even cross our mind going there. Obviously, now it changes the whole scenario, and I think if the horse was doing well and showing the right signs, I think the chances that John has taken, and he was big in making us go here, all the races, it was some crazy calls, but it's all worth it. And I think if he's doing well, I see no reason why John wouldn't want to go, probably. I think we will go, probably, once the horse is doing well.
Absolutely. And you get perfect 5+ weeks to recover from this. For those that hadn't seen the Fig came back a 99 buyer, as did Street Band. And it's one of the really nice stories of the year for the connections and for, really, Safi, for anybody that is involved in the game that claims horses and gets in that way. We always, over these 2 weeks during Keeneland, we stressed a lot of the purchases for under $100,000. Jeff Bloom with Midnight Bizou for 80, I think. There's opportunity here. It's nice to get opportunities. I know you have that $500,000 2-year-old, but doing this, taking a horse that you're just hoping to win some races with and do okay with, and moving it up the ladder to a grade one win, I mean, the satisfaction is second to none, and more importantly, it's inspiring to horsemen and to owners that are out there, you know, hoping they could do the same.
Oh, for sure. And that's what makes racing so intriguing. I mean, if you have to own an NBA team, you have to have billions, or an NFL team. And racing, you can buy a horse for $6,000-$7,000, or you can buy it for $6,000-$7,000. And the $6,000-$7,000 could be better than the $6,000-$7,000. So that's the thing about racing. It's just no one knows until things happen. You know what I mean? You have ideas, but no one knows 100%. And that's what makes racing the unknown. Even when you're running a horse in a race, you can be 1-9, and it doesn't mean you're going to win. It means that you have a good chance of winning better than others, but until the race runs, you never know. And I've gone into races where I thought I would win, and the horse is going to beat. And then I went into a race on Saturday where, you know, you dream of winning, but realistically, you know, like, it's most likely you're not going to win, and then you get that outcome, and it's just so fulfilling. And we're just thankful and blessed to be doing this with these horses. Are, when you have a happy horse, they do anything for you. They lay it on the line for you, and that's the importance. Like, these horses, once they're happy, they want to please. They want to give you their all, and that's the result we got on Saturday. We're just thankful for it.
Well, as many people have noted, that maiden claiming event in December that has produced both Maximum Security and Math Wizard, it's like an impossible story. It just doesn't make any sense that two horses like this could show up in the same race, you know, different circumstances, obviously, but it just gives everybody a reason to believe.
Oh, for sure. People sometimes, they don't want to run in claimers, or they think that claimers are like the bottom tier of the horses, but it just shows you a maiden claimer for 16, and look at the two horses that ran in the race. And I know things always change, but it's basically impossible to ever see that happen again. Like, to have two horses come out a maiden 16 for and win grade one. It's not even a maiden 25 or a maiden 50, a solid race. Most of the time, maiden 16, especially young horses, they're very moderate. And to see that happen, it's words can't describe it.
No. Well, you described it beautifully and with great emotion. And, you know, it's evident to everybody why you're as popular and well-liked as you are. Well done. For those that want to follow Safi, you can follow him on Twitter at Safi Joseph Jr. Safi with two F's, S-A-F-F-I-E. And he's also got a beautiful website, SafiJosephRacing.com, for contact and everything else. Safi, thanks so much. Continued success.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Safi Joseph Jr., everybody, and Math Wizard with the wonderful and, believe me, encouraging story. Gives all of us that, you know, that try to accomplish something in the game, whether it's, you know, big lofty goals or whether it's just to have some fun and win some races, you know, catching a wave like this, that's what it's all about. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk a little Laurel, and I can't help but call it the DC International. It's now the Baltimore Washington International Turf Cup, but it's the DC International, and for years, one of the great late season turf races. So only appropriate the Proctor wins one. The great one joins us next. Tommy Proctor, back after this.